Hey everybody, welcome to episode 28 of Fit Friends Happy Hour. In today's episode, we talk about the 8 dimensions of wellness with special guest Jenny Strickland. Jenny is the assistant director of group fitness and instructional programs at Purdue University, and most importantly, one of Katie and I's very, very good friends. She has a master's in sports administration and really knows the topic of wellness like the back of her hand. I can't wait for you guys to hear all the awesome stuff that she has to say. So get ready and let's get on to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Jenny is here today. We're so excited. Hi, Jenny.
Hello.
So we tried to record this a couple weeks ago, and that was the week where we were having crazy malfunctions. So Jenny, thank you so much for re-recording this with us, and I'm really excited for everybody to hear it.
Yeah, we just get to listen again, so it's going to stick, and I can't wait. So let's just jump right into it. The 8 dimensions of wellness. So let's start. What is number one?
So the 8 dimensions of wellness are something defined by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration. My nickname is SAMHSA. You can remember that. SAMHSA acronyms, okay? So number one is emotional wellness. And when we talk about emotional wellness, this is who's your support team or your hashtag squad, right? These people help you. The definition is coping effectively with life and creating satisfying relationships. So our girl group, I'm so fortunate to have with you guys, Lauren and Katie, and our friends, Michelle and Paulina, we are the gal pals. And we're always just being able to talk to one another, to lift each other up, to be support, to help when things are good and to rejoice and to mourn when things are not. Whatever it might be, we are able to be there for one another. There's a study, many studies, and our girl Shalane Johnson says it all the time. You become a cultivation of the 5 people you spend your most time with. Think about even 3 people you spend your most time with. Your behaviors, your attitudes, your mannerisms, your language. You pick up on all of those things. If the people in that category are not people you want to emulate, you got to tighten up your circle.
So basically, the emotional dimension is being aware of the people around you and how they make you feel. Yes?
Yes, absolutely.
One thing to point out here is a lot of us rely on our significant other, if we have one, for this. Or we just rely on one person, like our sister or our brother or our significant other. And I think really this should be like distributed through a couple different people. Because if we're always kind of like unloading on our spouse, it can be hard on that other person. And it's great to get feedback from a lot of different people. You know, a lot, meaning like 3 to 5, you know, not like everybody in your neighborhood. Would you agree with that, Jenny, or what do you think?
Yeah, and I would even take it a step further. When you have something wrong with your eyes, you don't go to a podiatrist. You go to an optometrist. You go to an eye doctor, and vice versa. There's a specialist out there for things, and you can easily identify who those specialists are in your life. If you're having marital problems, you don't want advice from someone who's not married. They're not going to be able to relate. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, you've got to find the people who that's their number one strength to be able to help you.
Yeah, like, when Lauren was pregnant, I'm always wide ears, but, like, I can support you. But at the same time, I'm like, I have no idea what you're going through.
Right.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we just think of certain people. Because certain friends of ours, like, they're better at listening, or they're better at advice giving, or they're better at this or better at that. So I totally agree. Like, going to the person that either has specific knowledge or just is going to kind of give you what you need in that moment.
Definitely. So the next one on our list, and remember, we're talking about these because health and wellness isn't just about fitness and nutrition. We have a whole different wheel of wellness that we need in order to be like a nice complete puzzle. So the second one is environmental wellness. And when I say this, did you just think about like a grassy field and a tree, or like lightning bugs and a frisbee because it's summertime? Maybe. Guilty. It's okay if you did. Environmental health is defined as good health by occupying pleasant and stimulating environments that support well-being. So think about this. What are your surroundings? Most companies or universities have a mission, vision, or values. And you really have to think about that for a second. Before putting yourself in an environment because it may seem like the best fit, you've got to do your homework. I can't work for a company who doesn't have the same beliefs and values as I do, or a core belief and value that differs from mine, because at the end of the day, I'm going to have an internal struggle of ever being happy at that job or in that organization or group, whatever it might be, if we don't agree. So it's really important to figure those things out. Being in a non-supportive environment allows no room for growth.
This was a huge one for me with moving to Indy. We've talked about in the past on our podcast about, you know, ranking these different, I think, areas of your life and where you need to, you know, work on and focus on. And for me, environment was huge, both with work. I was living at home. My car was a mess. My life was a mess. That's just how I felt. But moving to Indy has put it in like a whole 180. So I love my job. I love the people I work with, the positivity, the friends I'm surrounded by. Like, it's crazy how much just that piece being thrown off can make a huge effect on everything else in your life.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. I also think it's so interesting that nowadays work culture and work environment is on the forefront of managers and CEOs. Like, that's definitely the way that things are going, because they want their employees to be happy. They want their employees to stick around. So I think that's really interesting that, like, even companies are realizing that environment really matters.
Yeah, it's so funny, actually. My husband, he recently just switched jobs, but the job he was in before, they had scheduled walk and coffee break in the afternoon, which, how attractive is that? Of course I want to work somewhere that forces me to go on a walk and have a coffee break with my coworkers. And there's a company in Wisconsin, I believe it's called Epic, and they have a slide on their campus, and that's what they do. They call their workplace a campus. Google does that too. What? I want to work somewhere with a slide? How neat is that? But having those factors that just really amp up the environment really help. And it's not just about work, too. It's your home life. Katie, I love that you mentioned your car was a mess. That's huge. Think about it. When your house or your room or whatever it might be isn't in order, then you're not going to have order in other areas. And one thing I always tell my students is, you can tell what's going on in my life by what my desk looks like. There's papers and piles of things everywhere. It's probably not a good time to ask for something.
My boss always says, when you go to an interview, if you really want to know the type of person someone is, look at how clean their car is. And that describes their life. And I'm like, and my car's a mess, so my life is a mess. But let's get that together.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so what's number three?
Number three is financial. So financial wellness is satisfaction with current and future financial situations, aka balling on a budget. Money can be a really stressful part of our lives, but it's something that can also provide comfort and security. Managing money is different for every single person and their lifestyles. Katie, you said over and over again, fail to plan, plan to fail. This is true with everything and really true with money. When it comes to things that we want to invest in or that we want to do, we have to have some kind of an emergency fund. Whether it's $5 in your emergency fund or $1,000 in your emergency fund, it's something that needs to be built up, because you never know what's going to happen. You never know what you're going to need. And it's just really important to budget wisely. There's tons of apps and tools online to help. It's an awesome way to know where your money's going. I challenge everyone listening to just write down the money that they spend, whether it be old school Google Sheet or in an app like Mint. My students told me about this website, You Need a Budget. So YNAB, those are the initials, YNAB. I don't know if it's .com.org, just Google YNAB. And it's free to college students to be able to budget. I think that is so neat. There's tons and tons of things out there that we can do, but it's important to have a plan.
This is, like, so hard for me. I control so many of these dimensions, but I just don't want to control my money. Like, I just want it to, like, work out. Just say a prayer and just be like, it'll be fine. But like you said, fail to plan, plan to fail. One of the things that Dave Ramsey says, and Katie and I both have gone through his program, is that you have to train your money. Like, your money will disappear if you aren't watching it. Like, it just somehow gets spent. And ever since I heard him say that months ago, it keeps proving itself to be true.
Yeah, he says you have to tell your money where to go, because how many times when you get an extra $20, even if you did budget, but you for some reason got extra money, if you don't tell that extra money where it's going to go, 9 times out of 10, you just spend it. And you're like, what did I even buy? I don't even know. It's gone. Exactly. When it could have been in savings or something.
Yeah, and think about, there's always that after work or after school, let's go grab a drink, or let's go, you know, do whatever it may be, insert here. you don't want to be the person to say, oh, no, I didn't budget for that. Like, you want to be able to have some leeway and have that permission to do the things that you still want to do. And if you ever watch Parks and Rec, I love Tom Haverford. He says, treat yourself. And so in me and Jordan, that's my husband's budget, we literally have a line item called treat yourself. And it's great because it allows us to spend it on something
that's so fantastic. That's hilarious. I love that. All right, what's our next one?
The next one is intellectual wellness. Intellectual wellness is recognizing creative abilities and finding ways to expand knowledge and skills. How do I learn if I'm not in college anymore, though? What do I do, right? What gets your creative wheels turning? Maybe it's reading a book or writing or drawing. A study recently linked adult coloring books and how they have been shown to offset dementia and Alzheimer's in older adults. I think that is so neat. Same goes with crosswords. Having a creative outlet and a hunger to learn is something that we're born with. It's just a matter of what is it for each of us that fills it up. I know for me, I love to read. I love, love, love to read. And I love to listen to music. And not just music, but like dissecting the counts and the beats and the lyrics and all of that jazz. It just amps me up. But we can even tie in this intellectual wellness back into emotional wellness if we bring someone from our support team that also enjoys it, which is awesome. And I love how these outlets can tie together.
This one I have really been thinking a lot about in the past couple of months because I know that I am missing this. And I know that, like, because I'm missing it, I feel overwhelmed with like everything that I have to get done. And I feel like I just need that creative outlet to, as a distressor. So I've literally spent months like trying to figure out what made the most sense with my life and something that I was actually going to do. David has a coloring book, like an adult coloring book. So I should start doing that right now. But my longer term goal is to teach myself piano again. I took lessons from when I was in first grade until I was like 15, but I don't remember how to play. Like, I don't remember how to read music. So I really want to teach myself. And I even downloaded an app that teaches you. Thank goodness it's 2017. But yeah, this is definitely like been on the forefront of my mind.
I think as fitness instructors, this definitely helps us as far as creative outlet. Right now, I've been teaching a lot more freestyle classes where I have to use my brain and be creative with choreography and music. And I'm so used to doing pre-choreographed stuff that a lot of that work is done for me, which I love. It's such a time saver. But it has been kind of fun getting back to really thinking and designing, implementing everything.
It's so funny that you say that, Katie, because as a fitness instructor myself too, I'm actually experiencing the opposite. And I shared with you guys, I'm teaching Pio this summer. I'm so used to teaching freestyle. It's like no brainer, come up with it, whatever. But learning this choreography has been so challenging, and I love it. It's been my intellectual stimulation that I didn't even know I needed. But it's funny, we're totally on opposite accords there. One other thing that I wanted to mention with intellectual is we can even do this as something that's part of our everyday life. And a great example is cooking. There's this huge trend out there of these meal delivery services right now, Blue Apron and HelloFresh.
Yeah.
They will actually send you all the ingredients and a list of how to do it. So you're learning how to do something new while you're providing yourself the sustenance that you need. So that's another really cool one to check out.
That's funny you mentioned that, because now that you say that, that is totally one of my creative outlets.
The next one is occupational wellness. This is personal satisfaction and enrichment from one's work. So be a boss, babe. What is my greater purpose? Millennials in the workforce, on average, are jumping jobs every 2 to 3 years. I'm so guilty I did that myself before I found this awesome job that I love. Studies have shown this is because people want to feel a need or a value for what they're doing. And I know that that's true for me as well. It was also hard to be away from my family. Is my work worth something? Am I getting the affirmation I need? Ultimately, am I making a difference? What we do have to remember, though, is this can be a slippery slope because, you know, we all fall into this millennial category, and we just have to remember the Colosseum wasn't built in a day, and really good things take time, and so we have to give whatever we're doing a chance. We can't just up and quit if it doesn't feel good, and just, you know, we talk about follow your gut or follow your whatnot, but still, we have to give things a chance.
That is so true. Like, our listeners definitely know that I'm a jumper. Katie's a jumper. I think I'm worse than Katie, though. As soon as something, like, kind of becomes, like, unnew, I'm ready to like move on. And I've told myself like, that's not the way that you look at your job. That's the way you look at like a challenge. Like you just have to get a new challenge or whatnot. So I totally agree with you.
So funny that you brought that up, because before we jumped on this call, Lauren and I were looking at our downloads and our numbers for our past podcasts. And one of our most recently top downloaded episodes was what to do when you hate your job. And we just laughed because we're like, that's our generation. That's our people who are listening. So this is for all of you guys who listened to the episode and resonated with wanting to quit your job. Okay, we kind of go back on that and listen to Jenny, give it a chance and go through all these other dimensions of wellness before quitting your job.
Yeah, and I would just add to, you know, for a lot of us, we're going to be working until we're 60, 65, whatever that magic number is, but we have to enjoy what we're doing. And if we don't enjoy what we're doing, we absolutely have permission to try and find something else. What I'm saying is give it a chance, and give it a chance that ask for different responsibility or more responsibility. Maybe you're not being challenged. There are always opportunities out there, and the worst thing that's going to happen is someone's going to say no to you. That sounds like a risk worth taking to me. And I've found that the people I enjoy working with the most, and hopefully they feel the same, is those with a how can I help you or an I'm happy to help you attitude, rather than a oh, I have to do this, or a man, this is piling up. But having that what can I do for you or I'm happy to help you attitude just really changed the dynamic in the workplace.
That's such a good point, saying give it a chance, as in you as the individual, how can you make the most of the situation? And then if it's still not working, move on. Okay, so how many dimensions have we gone through so far?
We have gone through 5 so far.
Okay, what's our next one?
Our next dimension is physical wellness, and we won't spend too much time on this. Physical wellness is recognizing the need for physical activity, healthy foods, and sleep. We all know that exercise is good for you. We talk about it almost every week when we listen to these wonderful gals. ACSM recommends 150 minutes of moderate intensity or exercise per week. And my mantra is adopted from my pals, Katie and Lauren. Get your heart rate up for at least 15 minutes a day. Do something that makes you sweat, something that challenges you. It doesn't have to be a chore to exercise. There's lots of classes, lots of formats, lots of styles. Most of the time, any gyms in your area will offer a class for free for your first time. Google that and take advantage of that. Go everywhere. Just absolutely do it. It's a great way to figure out what your style is, what you like, and what you don't. Also, remember, as far as nutrition goes, there are specialists out there for that. Our friend Katie, she's a registered dietitian. There are plenty of folks out there like her. Don't just rely on the internet, as much as it is a great source. Maybe your health insurance covers a consultation or a meeting with someone. Look into it and find out. Don't make excuses of, well, I don't know, or I don't have time. Figure it out. You can Google it in 20 seconds. If not, email me. I'll help you. I would be happy to help you do that. But just know that these folks are licensed to help customize your nutritional needs. And the last part is sleep. And I can't tell you enough about sleep. I am the queen of sleep. I'm fearful for the day that I don't know how to manage my sleep when I'm a mom. And Lauren, you're going to have to help me out and talk me down. But I am an 8-hour solid sleeper every day. And if you don't know me, that's probably the one thing that you'll remember. I love sleep.
Don't worry, I was the same way right before I had Sammy. I had like a killer, amazing sleep schedule. And I don't know, it just all works out. It all works out. But yes, I love that use your resources. Okay, what's number 7?
So number 7 is social wellness. Social wellness is developing a sense of connection, belonging, and a well-developed support system. So how do we feel a sense of belonging? It's not easy to make friends after college, for those of you who've been there. It takes time and effort to build relationships, and it takes just as much time and effort to maintain relationships. Social wellness doesn't have to mean regularly attending happy hour, although I love me a good happy hour. We could join a book club or a mom's group, a sports team, a fitness class. It's really just about finding people that have the same values and priorities as you, and also people that you can hold accountable, that they can hold you accountable. Most importantly, show up. You've got to show up. Being part of something is awesome. Showing up to it is even better. You can't build or maintain a relationship if you're not there. So make it a priority and follow through on your commitments. My number one pet peeve is when people break commitments and do it with really no good reason.
A really good example of that is if you do go to a group fitness class, it's one thing to go there and say, okay, I'm going to get outside my comfort zone. I'm going to go to that class. Okay, that's awesome. But once you get there, if your goal of going to that class is, yes, to get fit, but find like-minded friends, then you need to show up by being there and talking to your neighbor or introducing yourself to the instructor and kind of going a step further to make that initiative in order to really see a difference in this category, I think.
So the last one is spiritual wellness. Spiritual wellness is expanding a sense of purpose and meaning in life. Really, this is all about finding something to believe in. Spiritual wellness connects us to a sense of purpose and meaning, and maybe you don't know what to believe in. That's okay. What better time than now to figure it out? Go to the library. They still exist. Look up a book. Find what interests you or what you've always wondered about. Ask a friend what they believe in or how they find spirituality and learn something new about them. I'm a Christian. It's something that has transformed my life, and so spiritual wellness is really important to me. A long hike through the mountains or hills is another way that I know some of my friends find spirituality. Yoga, kayaking, you name it. There are too many outlets out there. Explore. Give yourself permission to find what works best for you.
Yeah, with spiritual wellness, this one for me, like I've been wanting to connect more with people on a spiritual level. I don't know if that's like the right way of me saying it, but I've been wanting to like make more friends around this area. Same with like, I want to make more friends that are moms. So with the seventh one that you just said, social and spiritual, those are like all kind of connected with me.
Yeah, and I think too, it's important to realize, mom and dad, I love you, but I was born into it, right? When it comes to spirituality or religion, and we grow up learning what our parents learn and what our parents practice. And if they don't practice anything, we don't practice anything. And so I think it's really important as we age and as we mature to explore that for ourselves and to figure out what it is that we agree with or what we want to challenge or what we want to learn more about.
Yeah, and not looking at it black and white, looking at it in the gray and trying to figure out what faith really means to you. I love that idea. I feel like I say this every single podcast, like I'm a black and white person, but with faith, I actually have a pretty easy time seeing it in the gray. And I love that. It's just, it gives you so much more liberty to kind of find your own way.
A tip that has helped me through this, you know, with your spirituality, whatever it is, but for a lot of people, that means going to church or going to a service. If you have a significant other or spouse or someone who isn't necessarily rooted in their faith, don't force that upon them, but always invite. Or maybe it's your friends. You know, I know in college, so I was raised Catholic. And in college, a lot of us kind of dropped off and stopped going to church. And there, I had a lot of friends who were Catholic, but no one ever really wanted to go to church. And I didn't want to make them feel bad about not going, but I needed that accountability. So for me, it was always inviting, and if they come, great. If not, great. But I think that's just something to keep in mind. I think at our age, since we're all go through it differently, just find someone for accountability and invite.
Yeah, we got to be gentle and we got to be patient. And I think if you're still trying to figure that out, and maybe you've experienced someone else, you know, nudging you or asking you about it, that would be a great person, especially if they're gentle about it. I love that you mentioned that, Katie. I think that's huge. But just give yourself permission to ask questions and give yourself permission to challenge what you think you know or what you think you like, and just learn what it might be. Discover who you are and find something to believe in. So all in all, wellness is not a one-size-fits-all equation, but it is a include-all situation. Take time to process, reflect, learn, and grow in all of these areas. And most importantly, ask for help. You're not alone. Everyone here, all of us, especially these fit friends that have been created through this podcast, everyone's here for you. And I know if you send Katie or Lauren a message asking for help or advice or whatever it may be, they're going to come at you with bells and whistles, ready to go, because that's who they are. That's what I love about this community. So just remember, wellness isn't one size fits all, and you can do it.
Yay. Love that. What a positive note to end on in such Jenny fashion.
Thank you so much to Jenny for joining us for today's podcast. We hope you guys got a lot out of today's episode, and I hope it definitely just got the wheels turning of if you do feel that imbalance in your life, because that's a lot. This is a lot to balance in order to live a happier, healthier life. But just keep in mind, you know, maybe it's one of these areas, maybe one or even a few that you need to take time to focus on. It may not be the most exciting one, but hopefully Jenny and us said something today that resonated with you to take action right now and make a bit, little bit of a change.
Yeah, if you guys want to talk about this anymore, find me on social media, on Facebook or on Instagram. I could talk about all of this for hours. Send me a message and I'd be happy to connect with you.
Jenny, I know that your Instagram handle has a couple extra letters, so can you spell it for us?
Sure, it's Jenny Strickland, JennyStrickland.
I knew it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much to everyone for listening to today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe. Find us on Instagram. Send us an email. Just get in touch anyway, anyhow. And we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.